At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Two Off the First. It is May the 2nd, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballingy. We're presented by our friends at Swanee's Golf. Very excited to have you here with us for today's show. We've got a bunch of different stories really going on, a couple different categories. We'll have a little bit under the LPGA, and then we'll have some stuff related to the PGA Tour. So it won't be two particular stories. It'll be kind of two buckets of stories that we've got for you. If you want to get a hold of me, you can do so on Twitter or Instagram at the handle Ryan Ballingy. Same thing for Golf News Net. Available both handles on both services if you're interested in following us. All right, let's start with the PGA Tour bucket. Some interesting things came out today. We talked about this in yesterday's show, figuring that at some point this week, Rory McIlroy was going to have to talk about why he didn't play in Harbortown, why he didn't choose to play the RBC Heritage, marking the second time this year that he had skipped a designated tournament after helping to architect a system in which the PGA Tour required players who earned PIP money to play in every designated event but one of them. And if you skipped more than one, there was suitable cause, reasonable cause, for PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan to deny a sizable portion of that money if you won some from the PIP pool to those players that skipped more than one event. And so the story goes around, oh, well, McIlroy could have cost himself, what, $3 million, I think was the figure that was bandied about, because he chose to skip Harbortown. Well, two things. One, Jay Monahan has already said he's the decider on that. He's the one who gets to wield the ultimate power of the purse and whether he wants to give full money, fully earned money to players, even if they didn't live up to every end of the bargain. And he's already said that he's willing to give Tiger Woods as much PIP money as he wants and earns through the contest or through the ranking system because he's Tiger freaking Woods. So why couldn't that standard apply to Rory McIlroy, who has been obviously very instrumental in developing what is the future of the PGA Tour and what that's going to look like moving forward? So I don't think that necessarily is going to cost him all that much money in the end. But Dan Rappaport from Barstool, formerly of Golf Digest, is at the event this week, and he approached McIlroy not too long ago, tweeted about it, and asked him if he was going to talk about why he didn't play Harbortown. McIlroy declined to comment about it, other than saying it was a personal matter and that he wouldn't elaborate on it any further. And I think that most people are going to interpret that as, I don't have a good reason, I don't want to talk about it. But from some conversations that I've had with people who are out on tour, who might have some good awareness of what's going on in McIlroy's life, I think there's more to this than meets the eye. I don't think he would have walked away from Harbortown for no good reason. I think there was something truly personal, truly significant to he and his family that is going on. I don't have all of the details on it, so I don't want to put that all out there and try to get in front of something that McIlroy clearly doesn't want to talk about. But suffice it to say, there is a legitimate reason here why McIlroy didn't play Harbortown. And I don't think it was just that he was upset that he missed the cut at the Masters. I truly feel that based on what I have heard and what I've talked about with other people who probably have a very good awareness of what Rory Inc. is thinking and doing these days. And I don't think it has anything to do with McIlroy and his immediate family in terms of wife and children, nothing like that, but it is personal. And we'll leave it at that. And I think he's going to leave it at that. So I don't think he's going to get approached about it otherwise. That was kind of a, hey, just kind of back off on this one. McIlroy isn't the kind of guy that wouldn't give you at least some kind of concocted straight answer if he thought he could give one or he felt in the position to give one. That's happened over the years where there have been gaffes from people on his team who've said, oh, well, he had a wisdom tooth problem. Remember that? The Honda, like that was silly and stupid. And there are other kind of myths around McIlroy over the years, but this one doesn't feel like one where you're just being fed BS. I think there's something legitimate here going on. The other notable surprise, I think, is who was caddying for Patrick Cantlay this week. And Patrick Cantlay had been working with a guy named Matt Minister, who's a longtime caddy, very accomplished, very well-respected caddy in PGA Tour circles, and they split up after the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. There hasn't been a whole explanation of why that happened. There doesn't need to be. It's not quite the same as, you know, Webb Simpson giving a whole press release about the life that he had with with Paul Tesori as his caddy, then that he bequeathed Paul Tesori to Cameron Young. Not that kind of situation. Patrick Cantlay is frankly not that kind of guy, not that kind of sentimental, and he is a charisma bypass if there ever was one. But guess who he's working with this week? Joe LaCava, Tiger Woods' caddy. And they are working together at least on a temporary basis this week and perhaps moving forward until there's a permanent caddy identified. And I think you have to entertain the realistic possibility that Joe LaCava could be Patrick Cantlay's permanent caddy. I talked about this actually on our golf betting podcast called The Press just a little while ago. And it occurs to me that at Tiger Woods' stage of his career, obviously he's on the shelf for quite a while, having had surgery after the Masters tournament. He's not going to play probably the rest of this year. I assume we won't see him until at best sometime in the fall, if not in 2024, which means Joe LaCava's calendar is clear and he's not making money. Well, making money depending on the arrangement that he has with Tiger Woods around a salary, but thinking toward the future, LaCava is kind of in that interesting stage of his career where he could walk away and I'm sure could be happy, but still seems very much interested and very much driven in helping great players. And he has worked with Patrick Cantlay in the past in a temporary step-in situation. So maybe for the rest of this year, Cantlay and Joe LaCava work together. And I think there's been this assumption because immediately for Cam Young, Paul Tesori paid dividends. You had Bones come back and work with Justin Thomas. That paid dividends. Making these caddy moves for players, Ted Scott with Scottie Scheffler, those things have meant the world to these guys and have been a significant reason why they have improved as players for whatever reason. Whatever the mesh, the bond is between the player and caddy has made them better. But there's a quick to assume thinking here that, okay, well, if LaCava's on the bag, Cantlay's going to be immediately better. Newsflash, Patrick Cantlay's really good at golf. Awkward guy, but really good at golf. And has played very well this year. It is difficult for him to win on the PGA Tour. Not because he's a bad player. It's just how he's wired. It's close to Tony Finau syndrome of he gets himself close so often because he is a superior player and because he gains strokes on the field routinely that he sees himself at the top of the leaderboard or darn near the top. And I think not to the extent of Finau because he had some really hard luck losses that have kind of evened out in this run of five wins in a little over, a year and a half. But for Cantlay, he gets himself there often, but not so often that you expect him to or think of him as a bad luck Sunday player or whatever. And I don't think that's necessarily going to immediately change just because Joe LaCava is on the bag for him this week or going forward. But I do see a possibility of Tiger and LaCava saying, look, Tiger moving forward might play max 4 to 5 events a year, maximum. And that's if everything goes right with the surgery on the foot for the arthritic condition that happened because of the car wreck that he got himself in. If that works, if that takes, then maybe he buys himself those 4 or 5 events a year, walking a little bit better, feeling a little bit more healthy. But that doesn't mean Tiger needs to have Joe LaCava as his full-time caddy anymore. He could work with somebody that he respects and likes in a capacity that is frankly part-time at best. And he could bring on pretty much whoever he wanted that would be available for that time period. Now, of course, you're going to have some trust. You got to build a relationship there. But for 4 weeks a year, does Tiger really need a world-class caddy like Joe LaCava? Knowing that the odds of him winning a tournament are pretty low, and that if he does, he's going to do it on his own ability at this stage of his life. It doesn't really. It's almost kind of like when Jack had his kids on the back. Like, he knows how to play golf. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to win. If he gets in the situation, he'll figure it out, or he won't. But it's not going to be because Joe LaCava's not there. So I can see a possibility where, and this is almost similar to how Steve Williams left Tiger's bag and got on Adam Scott's bag, where Tiger was out of action. Steve wanted a bag. Adam Scott asked. Steve asked, said it was, you know, got the okay from Tiger. Then it turned out to be not okay, which is a whole other conversation. But that's how he wound up on the bag. I could see that happening here. Maybe not as acrimonious, particularly at this point in Tiger's life, where maybe they see some success or they decide that they have a relationship that works well with one another. And like, yeah, let's just do this moving forward. And Joe's going to go to Tiger because of the respect that they have for one another, if that's the case. And they're going to have that conversation. But I do see that as a distinct possibility here. And of course, all kinds of other outcomes are possible. Joe Skovron could become a guy that walks off of a different bag and goes to, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there. But I think this is an interesting move, and I think it's something that Cantlay's frustrated with, just feels like he needs to make a change to become a better player. Well, Joe LaCava has done that for a bunch of different guys. So Freddie and Tiger both. And if you can sense yourself in that kind of company, then all right, let's go. That's it moving forward. So that's the stuff on the PGA Tour side. Couple interesting stories there. Tony Finau was asked about why he played with his kids on a par 3 course after winning a tournament. The short answer and correct answer, I didn't even read the transcript. The correct answer is he's a dad and he likes his kids. I don't know why he needed to be asked that, but if my kids asked me after my birthday party if we could play the par 3 course and I was able, I would go do that. It's not an issue of like being a good dad. It's just, hey, do you like your kids? Yeah, I think most people do. Some people don't, but most people do and would go do that kind of thing with their children if they had the time and availability to do it. So no big story there. I just thought that was kind of one of the weird news cycle things that came up today. And then the other piece of news that has come up is the United States President's Cup team has a captain for 2024. That man is Jim Furyk. He will head the American side as they take on Mike Weir and the Canadians, a contingent of fans that'll be behind him for the international side at Royal Montreal next year. I'm kind of looking forward to that. I might want to go to that one. I love Montreal. I love Canada. So getting an excuse to go up there sounds pretty great to me. So congrats to Jim Furyk, who will hopefully get to have a little bit of a make good for what happened in Paris. That was a total debacle. Some of that was on him. Some of that was on Patrick Reed. Some of that was on Brooks and DJ and just a team that was frankly unprepared to play the Europeans that they played and the Mollywood-led European side that just smoked us. But all that said, I hope Furyk gets his opportunity to get a cup win as a captain. But, and I double underscore this, I don't think the internationals are pushovers anymore. I really don't. I think they have found some confidence and some belief, and not that they're going to suddenly go rip off 12 in a row of these things, but that maybe they could win one next time around. And that would kind of stink for Jim Furyk to have that be his legacy, given that he's one of the worst records in the history of the Ryder Cup as an American player, because he was on so many at the wrong time in history. But that if he were to be a losing captain twice, that would put him in some pretty sad company doing it in the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but congratulations to Furyk on the job. He is a PGA Tour guy through and through. He has a Champions Tour event that has his name on it. He has done pretty much everything you can do. He's a Ponte Vedra Beach guy. It all kind of makes sense. I do like to see some more different, new, whatever blood in the captaincy roles moving forward. But Phil kind of threw a wrench in all of that by going to LIV. So there you go. Let's talk about the LPGA a little bit. There's some interesting news. We talked about this yesterday a little bit, that the International Crown, which is this week at TPC Harding Park, there are 8 teams, and one of the teams, England, was upended because Charlie Hull and Georgia Hall withdrew from the event, one with an injury, one with an illness, and they decided to bow out, and they were replaced with Alice Hewson and Liz Young, two very capable players who play most of their golf on the Ladies European Tour, and they're ranked around 200th in the world. So there aren't that many highly ranked English players who are available otherwise, but those were they were 10th or 11th and 18th in the world. So very highly ranked players giving way to players who aren't quite as highly ranked and not necessarily incapable of doing well for England, but they're going to put themselves behind the eight ball a little bit here. There is some news related to the Swedish team, although it doesn't impact them this week. So the United States has announced, the government has announced that they're going to end the COVID emergency, medical emergency declaration come May 11th. And that means when that expires, international travelers who come to this country will not have to prove that they are vaccinated or be vaccinated to enter the country, which means for Sweden, Lynn Grant will be able to compete on the LPGA full time. She has status on this tour. She is a top 50 player in the world. She has done tremendous things in the world of golf already at a young age, but she's been unable to compete in this country because of the vaccine mandate for international travelers. When that gets lifted, she'll be able to come over here and play. She's played a couple of events on the LPGA Tour this year. One's not staged in the United States. She had to withdraw from the International Crown because that declaration had not expired yet and the rules had not been changed. So she had to bow out. Now, basically in 10 days' time, she's going to be able to play on the LPGA. So I expect to see her over here frequently and quickly trying to play on the LPGA, making up for a little bit of lost time. She's had some okay finishes in her limited field starts so far this year in the Asian swing. She's played in other countries. She's played on the LET. She's played in the Saudi International, Lady Saudi International, Morocco, a bunch of different LET events. So she's tried to stay busy, but now she's going to be able to play on the LPGA Tour full time, which is great for her. I do find it interesting that she has taken this stance all this time, and I don't know whether she did it thinking that someday the United States would just kind of relent on its policy and eventually allow unvaccinated foreign travelers to come to this country, or total principle thing, never had the conversation. I know she's kind of talked about it in some press that she's done about it just kind of being her choice, and no one's ever really kind of questioned why or whatever about that, and she hasn't offered an explanation further than that, so she, you know, just kind of stuck it in first gear, and that's it in terms of that question. But for her, she will be able to come over here and compete, which is cool to have another top 50 player, really a top 30 caliber player competing on the LPGA, able to compete and offer some more international flavor to a tour that really has plenty of it already and will be on display this week at Harding Park. So great news there. That's going to do it for us today on Two at the First. It's a fairly short show. Don't have a whole lot to go over. There's not a whole lot of... I was really expecting to have more from Rory McIlroy. Just some kind of something to work with, some kind of press conference or quote, or, and I know we could have talked about what we talked about. Didn't come up, not there. Don't have that. So, hey, that's okay. Some days are quiet news days and we still have things to talk about all the same, just maybe not as long as we have been recently in that 22, 24 minute range. If you listen to the show as a podcast, and you can do so on your podcast service of choice, leave us a 5-star review. Leave a comment, helps us reach more people. If you're watching on YouTube, consider subscribing to our channel. Smash that like button, leave a comment. We appreciate that too. If you're listening or watching through some other fashion or means, thanks for doing that. Thanks for spending some portion of your time today with us, whenever you're catching us, wherever you are around the world. And if you would be so kind, check out Golf News Net Radio, available on iHeart and TuneIn. Just search Golf News Net Radio. You'll find us, be able to play us. You can head over to golfnewsnet.com. Check out all of our programming. We added 3 new shows this week, 2 for me, one called Green Shoots, one called The Bag Room. They're about entrepreneurs and business in golf, and then the equipment building world of golf, which is really fun. And we're also thrilled to welcome Joe Idone and Preferred Lines onto the network. He does a great job every week. Different guests, his perspective on golf betting and DFS. If you want to check that out and you're interested in it, airs tonight starting on Golf News Net Radio each and every week moving forward. I'm Ryan Ballengee. Thanks for watching or listening to the show. We'll catch you tomorrow on 2 at the First.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.